1-800-425-4002. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Tools! I got a basketball tools! Got a basketball tools, oh baby, ooh! Yes, I'm a victim of a basketball tools. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I ever put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me.
Good evening and welcome to another edition Tennessee Basketball Overtime presented by our friends at Smartway and your Garza Law Firm. Tennessee loses tonight in front of a rather sparse crowd in Thompson Bowling Arena by a final score of 70-60. Keith Hatfield will be by and join Tony Jones and myself as we welcome you to another edition. The Vols lifeless first 12-14 minutes of this game. Had a 9-0 run to close the first half, but at the end of it all, Tennessee finding ways to lose thus far in the conference season as they're off to a 1-3 start, a road trip now to Vanderbilt Saturday night, and that is not going to be easy. Tennessee in danger of falling to 1-4 in league play in Rick Barnes' second season. Not good. Let's, without further ado, bring Tony Jones in here this evening. TJ, as I welcome you in, your thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones at 865-200-5402 if you want to get on with us tonight and perhaps vent or share a thought or a comment. 865-200-5402. Let me bring Tony Jones in. TJ, your thoughts on the night. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? You know, I'm disappointed because, you know, obviously, before the game tonight,
right,
we lost a member of our basketball team.
Yep.
You know, Rick Barnes had to make a decision. And it's a decision in some instances that coaching staff have to make. When I was at Tennessee, we made some of those types of decisions. For various reasons. But sometimes the players, rally around.
Yep.
Those.
You told me that, Tony, before. You've taught me that. Not mean to talk over you, but you've taught me that. The whole concept of, you told me that they play really well the first couple games. Go ahead, Tony. Finish your thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Don't cut me off again like that, you know. You know how we are.
Damn, we're all, hey, Tone, we're all edgy tonight, aren't we?
Exactly. You know, sometimes you rally around those instances. For instance, I mean, when we have to suspend four guys, and we're playing the number one team in the country, Kansas, at our place, and no one in America picked us to win that game, but we did. With a bunch of players, some good players and some complimentary players and some walk-ons and things of that nature. And I fully expected Tennessee, to rally around that instance and really come out fired up. But in the first half, we missed so many layups that could have kept us close or even, had us garnering the lead. So many easy layups at the beginning of the game, and that enabled South Carolina to get their confidence. Subsequently, South Carolina gets a 15-point lead in the first half. Then we come back with that 9-0 run in the latter part of the first half to make it a 27-21 halftime deficit. But yet and still, we were our own worst enemy because we didn't come to play. And then the turnovers are just becoming redundant and sort of ridiculous in my estimation. And as we move forward in the broadcast, I'll continue to elaborate on some of the thoughts that I had during the basketball game.
The great Tony Jones. Tony, I know off the top, and I'm sorry to talk over you there. It's really poor form of me. Tony, I got to tell you, man, I'm not 100% tonight. I'm not myself. Feeling kind of edgy, feeling kind of chippy. Let's go through some of the numbers.
I get you, brother. It's all good.
Well, to you, I say much love on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I sat with Marcos Garza this afternoon down at Copper Cellar on Cumberland, and I looked at Marcos, and I said, man, thank you so much for supporting the work we do, and we get together as a fan base and do this thing exclusively because of his kindness toward me. Tennessee falls 70-60 tonight. The Vols now 1-3 on the year. The Vols are straight up at 500 right now in the year, but the truth is the one win over Sha-na-na doesn't count. I don't think Bowser was in the lineup that night. Let's look at some of the numbers. Tennessee in their own building, as Tony Jones alluded to, shoot 17 of 52 from the field, Tone. 33%. Carolina not much better. 22 of 54. They are 41%. Carolina on the night, 7 of 13 from three-point land. 54%. The Vols, 1 for 11. 9%, and that one was a high banking shot at the end of the game from Lamonte Turner that hit the top of the backboard and went in with 1:48 to go in the contest. Tennessee tonight from the line, 25 of 33, that's 76%. That's a good enough number to win with. Turnovers tonight. Tony Jones alludes to this as well. Tennessee in the basketball game, 22. Carolina in the basketball game, 22. Points off turnovers, Tennessee 21, Carolina 19. Rebounds in the game, Carolina 38, Tennessee 37. On the defensive end, Carolina 23, Tennessee 20. Offensive rebounds, Tennessee 17, Carolina's 15. Second chance points, another surprising number from the Vols. A lot of hustle here. 11-6 is the number there. Bench points, Carolina with 22, Tennessee with 19. Points in the paint, Carolina 26, Tennessee 22. Fast break points, Carolina 17, the Vols 6. Blocks even at 5. Carolina with 12 steals in tonight's game to Tennessee 6. And the assists were 12-10 in favor of Carolina. Tennessee only led in tonight's basketball game 3 times. Three times, and they were only in the lead for 4 minutes and 50 seconds tonight. And really, after the first portion of the game, once they went stone cold Steve Austin, Tony, they never got it back. Never got it back.
Never got it back, Tony. And you know how I do it on my Twitter page.
Yes,
it's T Jones Live, and T. Jones always keeps it real. Our coaching staff's got to do a better job also. I mean, our shot selection late in the game.
Yes.
When it was still a game. It was still a game. It was still a 6 to 8 point game, 3-4 minute mark. And then we just start jacking up shots. We just start jacking up threes. You made the point we were 1-11 from 3, 9%. I mean, come on. You can't win a AAU game or a middle school game with those type of percentages, especially when you're talking about South Carolina. They come into a building and shoot 22 for 54, 41%. And if you're talking about winning on the road in the SEC and shooting 41%, you're usually coming out with an L. And South Carolina is fortunate not to do that.
Yep.
And the reason behind that is just the multiple turnovers by UT that led to second chance points. Early in the second half, Tony, we came out and turned the ball over right away twice, and then three out of the first four possessions. And that enabled South Carolina to go on a 7-0 run, and quite frankly, they were never headed after that fact.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that exactly what happened in the Florida game?
That's exactly the same thing that happened in the Florida game, and it's becoming a pattern. We're not coming out of the locker room with the same intensity and focus,
yeah,
and the type of a preparation that's needed to win at this level. And I'm gonna be frank, and I really got a lot of respect for Rick Barnes,
sure,
and all these accomplished and the staff, and you know, I know Desmond Oliver, I know Rob Lanier,
sure,
I know those guys. But yet and still, you're not putting these guys in a position to be successful.
Well, that's, you know, two games in a row where they come out at halftime. And what's sad about tonight's game is you scratch and claw to get back in it. And then you come right out after the break and you look up and it's a 16 or 15 point game. Bang. 9-0 run. Or 7-0 run. Whatever 7-0. It was ugly. And it was three turnovers. And it was Johnny ball game. By the way, our number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. That's Tony Jones, who says that, coaching here has got to get better based on what he saw tonight, based on the way these guys are responding to it. I bring Keith Hatfield in for his thoughts on what we witnessed this evening at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee loses 70-60 to South Carolina, guys. The second time Carolina's won two games on the road in a row in this league since 2011. Frank Martin with win number 200 on his career. And Keith, good evening. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Keith Hatfield, your thoughts on what we saw tonight.
Well, I mean, when you missed about 10 layups in the first half and you've turned the ball over, whatever it was, 14 times and a half, I mean, that's an abject lack of focus, and if that's what it's going to be, they're not going to beat many people. I mean, that's an effort tonight that probably loses to everybody in this league but Missouri. And I mean, when you said that, and I mean, let's be honest, you got some guys just not performing. I mean, I defy anybody to find a worse player in the Southeastern Conference right now than Shambari Phillips. I defy somebody to find me somebody worse.
Tony.
He's not coming to play, Keith. And you know, I don't too much want to single individuals out, and you know, especially young players.
Right.
However, you know, when you play at this level, it's big boy expectations. It's big boy consequences when you don't do what you're supposed to do and do your job, and We're just, it's inconsistency. I mean, Admiral Schofield, after the game he played at Florida, he really was a no-show tonight. Obviously, he got in the foul trouble. Jordan Bolden, where was he at, tonight? Like Chief alluded to, Shambari Phillips, was a no-show. And then, you know, Quay Parker, Alexander, where were these guys at tonight? I mean, Lamonte Turner, really showed that he's not a point guard. He really didn't get them into the offense when they were behind in the second half. Jordan Bone is still finding his way.
Yep.
He turns the ball over a little bit too much at the point guard position.
Uh huh.
I don't know. I just think as a coaching staff, you might have to just reevaluate the situation. You may have to go out and get a really pure point guard. I don't think they have one on the roster right now. I'm a big Josh Bone family oriented guy. I coach Josh Bone and I love him, and Jordan was always around, but I don't know if you can win big with Jordan Bone at the point right now. I mean, I'm questioning it because I'm watching these games and I'm really evaluating this basketball team. And it's a lot of questions that I have moving forward with this basketball team. And like he said, this type of performance, the only team in the SEC you can beat is Missouri.
Damn, some stark words tonight from you two guys. I don't know what I expected after tonight's game. Keith, any other thoughts before I go to the phones? We'll get as many people in here tonight as humanly possible on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Vols fall tonight by 10 to South Carolina.
Well, I think Tony makes a good point in that you're not going to win big with Jordan Bone at point guard playing the game he's playing right now, which is mostly looking for his own shot. Now, granted, that was his game in high school, and maybe you can get him out of that. I mean, as far as being able to stay low to the ground and not turn the ball over off the dribble, except when he piles into the lane amongst eight people, he's pretty good at handling the ball in that situation. So maybe his game is one you can modify a little bit. You can't play Lamonte Turner as a primary ball handler against anybody that exerts any sort of defensive pressure, or you're going to turn the ball over 15 or 20 times a game. I think that's readily apparent now.
You know, I give Mark Griffin a lot of credit because he saw him last year, and he kept telling me, hey, look, you know, I don't know what we can do with Turner, but he doesn't handle it well enough. And you know, Tony, that's a thing that you guys see on film. You watch a game completely differently than I'll watch a game. You're watching it eval. I'm watching it emotionally. And I know from an eval standpoint, when you're watching Turner, you're thinking, oh God, let him play point guard against us. Please let him handle the basketball. And no offense to him, but when somebody has a weakness at this level, you're going to exploit that weakness. You guys as a team had weaknesses and teams exploited them. I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Well, you know what? I love Frank Martin as a coach. This guy is just, he's just second to none. He gets after his team. His team plays hard. They compete. They're not the most talented team in the world. I mean, you got Cendurrius Thornwell. You got Dwayne Notice. Obviously, P.J. Dozier was a highly recruited player. I mean, I recruited him fiercely when I was at Auburn, and he was one. He was number one on our board as far as trying to recruit. But other than that, he's got complimentary players. But the point I'm trying to make is he still tried to get after Tennessee 94 feet. Tennessee beat the pressure on a couple of occasions and got easy layups, but he didn't waver from the pressure because he knew eventually if you speed Jordan Bone up, if you speed Lamonte Turner up, bad things are going to happen for Tennessee and good things are going to happen for South Carolina. And you know what? To be honest, Tennessee was never in the game in the second half. You know, they cut it to six, got it to eight, but they were never within a one possession game where you could get the crowd into the game and then get the officials into the game. Another thing that was important is South Carolina was in the bonus at the 11 minute mark in the second half. So, you know, you send Thornwell and Notice and P.J. Dozier, you send those guys to the line, and then, you know, if you get those touch fouls out there, you getting over the back calls, those guys are going to the free throw line to pad the lead.
Well, the one play that got me tonight, you get it down to six or seven,
yeah,
and then you allow Kotsar to drive the length of the floor.
Yep.
You let their center drive the length of the floor,
yep,
to get a basket. I mean, come on. That's beyond unacceptable.
Tony Jones.
I agree with that, Keith.
Go ahead.
I got that written down. I got C to C under Kozar's name, and that's coast to coast.
That's insane.
Oh, a layup during a pivotal part of the game. I think they were down seven during that point.
That's right.
And Kozar got an unabated layup maybe a minute before that when they beat Tennessee's pressure and threw it over the top. And Kozar gets the layup. Let's don't discount the kid, Gravit.
Oh, he had a nice game.
He played a really nice game.
Really nice game, except for his turnover, guys. That turnover was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Well,
I got to be honest. Every time I see South Carolina, that guy does something good.
Yeah. I mean, he just was making three-point shots. He helped them in the first half to garner the lead, You know, he knocked down a shot where Antonio Pettis calls an offensive foul on him. That was bucket. And then in the second half, you know, they're running out of bounds plays for him to get open looks to shoot threes. I think he was an important catalyst for South Carolina off the bench that really, really helped him, because Silver didn't play an important role.
Nope.
See that Keita didn't play an important role, and Mackey was a little bit inconsistent in some instances. But at the end of the day, Tennessee was their worst enemy with the turnovers and the woeful 3-point shooting. 9% is unacceptable if you're talking about winning the SEC game.
Back to the phones we go. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. Tony Jones, mainstay on the Bruce Pearl coaching staff, absolute fixture in our community, does a tremendous job. Keith Hatfield joining as well. My name is Tony Basilio. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Let's go to our phones. And we'll get our first call of the evening in. Hello and welcome in, Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, good evening to all three of you. This is JM.
Hey, JM, good evening.
Hey, I think my enthusiasm for this program is probably at an all-time low. It's very depressing. As I look forward, and I'll talk about tonight's game some, but we've harped on the recruiting aspect with Barnes, but this team here, there was some enthusiasm at the beginning of the season when they had those close games, but I think people got a little too hyped up about that. I mean, if you look across the board every night in college basketball, there's some, you know, close scares that a ranked team will have with somebody. And I think people got a little too hyped up with that. This team just doesn't have anybody that can play. Plain and simple. And I don't know what are they going to do next year? Are they going to go to the tournament with, Jordan Bone and all these guys? Barnes is in a big hole with this thing right now, and it's falling apart on him. He's lost Fulkerson for the year, and he's had to kick Mostella off, who was, you know, him and maybe Bowden are your best 3-point threats. So it's just, it's really, it's really looking rough right now. What do you guys think?
Tom, what do you think?
From a coaching aspect, you know, you gotta try and rally the troops.
Yep.
We got two road games. We go to Vandy, then we go, to Ole Miss before we come back home. It's gonna have to be some soul searching. It's gonna have to be some role identification. Because we did this rotation on the fly. Obviously, Dietrich Mostella was an important part, an important component to this basketball team. He stretched the defense. He could handle the ball. He could get his own shot. I do a show called The Locker Room, and I predicted that Tennessee would win this game. Obviously, I didn't know that Mostella would.
I thought they would today. I'm with Tony. I think you usually respond when a guy gets kicked off a team. Generally, you focus better than they focus tonight.
9 times out of 10, you come out with a good performance. Remember last year when Kevin Punter got injured and they came out and they beat LSU when Ben Simmons came to town?
Yep.
Was it Punter that was out, or something happened in that game?
No, I think it was Punter. I'll let Keith speak to that. But, yeah, they balled out. And Tony, going back to Tony's era.
And he looked like Jalen Hurd on the football team. You know, stuff like that brings a team together sometimes.
Absolutely. You should see some focus at least in that first game.
Most of the time it does.
Where it falls apart, and this is what something Tony Jones taught me, is in that second and third game. That's where it's hard to sustain when you lose a scorer like that. You get second and third game, now you get the new car smell off of you. I mean, tonight's when it should have happened. Tonight's when you should have focused. And the truth is, this series has been I want to say, pretty much a home court kind of deal, if memory serves. That was just a really odd beginning to the game tonight. As Keith said, and Tony said, it just looked like they lost their focus or whatever. You can't miss that many easy shots, though, against a team that's that good defensively. And then you can't have those kind of lapses late in games. I mean, for two straight games now down the stretch, we've seen a parade of layups. And you don't have enough players to overcome that. You just don't.
No, and teams that have talent, you've got players that can finish.
Yeah, they're going to make plays.
Cannot. We don't have any finishers on this team.
JM, thank you. Great hearing from you.
All right, guys.
Let me get Keith, your thoughts on what JM said, and then we'll go back to the phones.
I think there's some truth to that, but I mean, I don't know how much of a finisher you have to be when you're by yourself. I mean, we missed four or five by ourselves in the first half.
I agree with that.
I mean, I don't know that it takes being Russell Westbrook to get those down.
But what is that? Is that just contagious? Is it focus? Is it?
Well, I think it's focus. I mean, I think when you're passing the ball at guys' feet, missing layups, missing assignments defensively, I mean, to me, that's focus.
Tony, has this team hit a wall?
You don't want to get complacent, and then you don't want to feel comfortable with losing. And this team is 8-8. They're 500 for the regular season, and 1-3 in the conference, and three losses in a row. Eyeing a couple of tough venues to go down and play. Conceivably, I mean, and then you got your best player who doesn't really hunt the basketball and is
that's
not
crazy,
really,
man. That's crazy. That's crazy, Tone. That's crazy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's not really aggressive offensively, and that's why I put it back in the hands of the coaches. If they had to force Robert Hubb. Robert Hubb, we gonna call your number five out of seven times to begin the game. We're calling your number. And you got to produce because you're the best offensive option we have. And that's all it is to say. You know, let's look on the bright side. Grant Williams played
no
really, really well.
What a player.
I mean, he made his free throws. He showed that he could be a defensive presence. You know, he blocked those three shots in the first half that really garnered the momentum back to UT after South Carolina went up 15 points with those three big blocks by Grant. But again, I allude to these guys: Bolden, Schofield, Phillips, Parker, who I don't think even played, Lou Evans. Those guys, I mean, were they out there? I don't even know if they
were. Poor Lou Evans. Did you guys see the sequence where he set a pick and then on a give and go got the ball and he had his head turned and the ball hit him in the side of the head? Did you all see that and it resulted in a steal?
He sets another blind pick on somebody's good players like he did on Notice Tonight. He's not going to have to worry about playing the rest of the
season. What is he doing? He did it twice in a row. He did it twice. He did it.
Yeah.
Two sequences. But at the end of one of those sequences, Tony, he got a ball back after a pick. And he won the ball. I mean, I'm just looking at it, and I'm going, I mean, God, guys, don't get hurt. Let's go back to our phones. Yeah, he got his head in the game. Somebody just said here, Tony, on Periscope, he's got his head in the game the wrong way. He got hit in the side of the head with the ball. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Vols lose tonight. They're 8-8 now in the season. They're 1-3 in the league. They've got a late night date Saturday at Vanderbilt, 8:30 Eastern Time start. We'll be on as soon as that one's over. And God bless these kids down there because Vanderbilt's playing really well. Vanderbilt played really well last night in a loss to Kentucky. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Tweed.
Hey, John.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
I think Quay Parker did play, but I was about to ask the same question as what happened to him. I feel like I didn't see him the whole game, and I watched the whole game. If I'm reading this right, from Turner Doan and Quay Parker, you got four assists and I think 10 or 11 turnovers.
That's correct. And from Bone in 20 minutes tonight, Tony, turned the ball over five times. You project that out to a 35, 36 minute night. That's a point guard turning the ball over nine times. That ain't going to work. And those turnover numbers from the point guards, Quay Parker, to your point, played 4 minutes in tonight's game. Tony, you didn't see him on the floor. He turned the ball over. You ready for this? Twice in 4 minutes.
Yeah, two times.
To John's point. That's not going to work, Tone Jones. That's just not going to work.
It's not going to work. And they have to reevaluate the whole roster moving forward. Obviously, you got to play the year with the roster you have. It's not the NBA. It's not the NBL of Canada where you can waive guys or you can make trades and things of that nature. But moving forward, you gotta look and see if Jordan Bone is, the quintessential point guard that can get you to the promised land in the SEC. I think we've come to the conclusion that Lamonte Turner is not the number one option at the point guard position. And then Quay Parker is Quay Parker. We gotta look at the bright side. Like I alluded to, Grant Williams is play well. We got to get Admiral Schofield to bring the same type of mentality that he brought against Florida into the game down against Vanderbilt. You know, you got to continue to try and develop Alexander. You know, he's the biggest. He's the most athletic player on the team. Obviously, he may not be SEC ready now, but you got to give him a chance. But then you just got to put your line in Robert Hubbs. You got to say, hey, Robert. This is your senior year. I mean, let's make a goal to make it to the NIT. And that goal is to finish above 500. If we have finished above 500, we can make it to the NIT, and then you can garner some postseason accolades. Other than that, it's gonna be a disappointing season.
And I asked this last game, and it happened again. They come out. I guess what's weird to me is you come out to start the half, and then right away, South Carolina goes on like a 6 or 7 point run, you're coming out of a half. You should be pretty focused or whatever changes you want to make are in. And it's like, I don't know if he's saving timeouts or waiting for a TV timeout or something, but he just, they go on that quick run, you have a silly turnover, he just refuses to call timeout. Maybe Tony Jones, you coach, what are you thinking there?
John,
you're not just following people.
Great instinct. I mean, when that happens, when those turnovers happen, when those two turnovers happen at the beginning of the second half, and then three out of four possessions, And that one possession, Grant Williams went to the basket strong and got a foul. They go on that 7-0 run. Rick, you got to call timeout. You got to stop this run right now at the beginning of the second half, because we've been given a lot. We've experienced a lot of energy to cut it to 27-21 at halftime, and then after they score that fifth point to make it a 9-point lead, we got to call a timeout, and then you got to really rip into those guys. What did we talk about at halftime, guys? We have to get inside. We have to have a mentality to move the ball, to set screens, to get good shots, and not turn the ball over. And that just didn't happen.
You know, John, I don't know what it looked like to you in beautiful Richmond, but on my TV tonight, I think maybe they were having trouble telling the jerseys apart, which is why we saw so many easy turnovers. I'm going to tell you something. Those two non-contrasting dark jerseys on television look like, for those of you who took photog back in the day, a couple of photo negatives out there. I mean, you couldn't tell what was what. That was the ugliest damn thing I've ever seen. Hey, no offense. Those uniforms we had on, those damn things are ugly. I mean, y'all might like them. Y'all might go out and buy them. More power to you. Power to the people. But those damn uniforms are effing ugly. They're not even ugly. They're fugly. They're beyond ugly.
Tony, speaking of ugly, number two for South Carolina.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. Hey, I'm married to a beautiful redhead lady, and I like a good red-haired brother. I'm into it. Hatfield, those jerseys in person tonight, those things were blending. I mean, what was that all about?
I'm not sure why you're breaking out your special uniforms for a Wednesday night against South Carolina.
And, thank you. That is well put. I'm going to break my special uniforms out for South Carolina on a Wednesday night?
Yeah, that was a little lost on me.
But, Tony, on television, it was hard to tell who was who, wasn't it, at times?
A little bit. But, you know, I'm going to defer a little bit. I like the gray uniforms. I think it's a little bit of an alternative. But, you know, it has to be on a special occasion. It has to be on a ESPN game on a Saturday where you're getting all the recruits able to watch.
Yeah.
You know, recruits not watching the game tonight. On Wednesday night at 6:30, they're just probably coming back from practice, and you got to be scientific in that aspect. But uniforms don't win or lose basketball games. Individual play, coaching, and the like is the culprit of wins and losses. And we didn't have none of the aforementioned attributes in tonight's game. And then, you know, you got to say this is a pivotal game. You playing against a team that's 12-3, that's 2-0 in the league. Their only losses has been to Memphis, Clemson, and the Seton Hall, and they've had good wins in the preseason against Western Michigan. Michigan and Syracuse. This has got to be a game at home that we just got to win to get back to 500 in the league with two road games coming up. And it just didn't seem like the intensity and the focus was there. And it happened right off the rip, especially missing them layups earlier in the game. It just don't seem like the focus was there. And, you know, we had to dig out of a deep ditch. That didn't come to fruition tonight.
Let's go back to our phones. We've got great Tony Jones, great Keith Hatfield, the not-so-great Tony Basilio along with you on Night Where the Vols Fall. My Vol Colonel tells me Tennessee has 41 turnovers in the last two SEC basketball games. That ain't gonna work. I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but that's a number right there. You have got to cut that. You got to third that number if you want to play better, if you want to win. Let's get to our next call and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
How's it going?
Hey, well, welcome in.
Hey, man, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, that gray and that garnet South Carolina wears, man, that was just,
I couldn't tell.
It was just too contrasting, man.
It was hard to see. It was hard for me to see anyway. I'll speak for myself.
I mean, I like the smoky gray. I like it. I like the orange and white, but, you know, I can live with smoky gray. But going up against South Carolina's attire, that's just too much, man.
Yep.
Contrasting. Clashing. But I'll say this, man. I just want to say this on this week of the Tony Bacilio show and just laying it on the line, man. I mean, at San Antonio, if you and BP that regime would Mostella have been booted to the curb as a junior, as a fireball contributor, Junior, Dietrich Mostella.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of troubled because, you know, I'm a big guy, that loves to. I love the social media. I think it's an avenue for you to get your opinion out and for the common fan as Tony Basilio attracts. And that's why me and him have such a great relationship. You know, I love the common fan. I love the fan at the Alley, at Raftery's, at Applebee's, at Copper Cellar, at Calhoun. Those guys, those people come up to me each and every day and ask me my opinion about things. And I love to give them my honest opinion on things. You know, something just came across to my consciousness, you know, where, you know, after the end of the game, Rick Barnes said about Derek Dietrich, Marcello, his dismissal didn't affect the team's mood. And he went on to say he's been a non-factor in games. He was either feast or famine. I got a problem with that comment. I mean, I just don't think you throw players under the bus like that, and especially after they've been dismissed. I think, you know, what you try and do and say that, you know, Detrick just didn't adhere to the standards of my program.
Yeah.
You know, we hope he stays in school.
Yep.
We hope he finishes his degree and things of that nature. But, you know, that's troubling to me as a coach, as a developer, or young people, and things of that nature. People make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and obviously, Detrick made a mistake that didn't enable him to stay on the basketball team. But you know, that just may be a forecall of what we're looking forward to for the conclusion of the season. That just doesn't sit well.
I appreciate you saying what you truly believe, man. I don't know. You probably got, you know, y'all got more internal sound bites coming out of the situation, man. But I don't understand why he wasn't even starting. At least he's on the team. I mean, I can live with him coming off the bench and lighting it up, but
TR, are you asking me would a guy be thrown off my team for smoking pot? Absolutely not. So
I mean, if it's a chronic deal, I mean, if it's freaking chronic, I can see your point. I mean, where it's affecting your going out there and doing what you're doing. I mean, and showing up and playing to win. I mean, I just bothers to me, man. He's just using Tennessee. In my opinion, he's at the plateau. He's at the freaking plateau. This is his chance to just say, I'm still active. Look at me with no orange on. Go Big Orange! Go Big Orange!
You think TR is a little pumped tonight there, big boy?
Yeah, a little bit. How much Garnet did Frank Martin have on tonight?
By the way, Frank Martin, after tonight's game, speaking of notable comments, he said, I told Rick Barnes between the turnovers, fouls, and bad decisions my team made, we made this a prehistoric game tonight in Thompson Bowling Arena. Guys, that was ugly, ugly basketball. Ugly.
That was old school. That was old school, late 80s, early 90s, Big East rock fight style basketball.
I mean, that was...
Hey Keith, I'm interested to hear, you know, that comment that Coach Barnes made about Marcello. What's your take on a statement like that?
I see, that's something I borrowed from my pal Bob Huggins on Tony. As far as if you ask me a question about a guy that's been suspended, my position is always going to be, do you have any questions about somebody that's still on this team? I mean, I think once a guy's gone, he's gone. There's no reason. Once he's gone, once you release the statement saying he's no longer on the team, I don't know why you entertain any questions about that guy.
Amen. There's nothing in it for you. There's nothing in that for you. You do nothing but look bad by trashing a kid on the way out the door. Nothing.
Well, you look small. You look pissed.
Yes, yeah. And I'm sure he's pissed. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's hurt feelings there, Tony, right? You feel like, hey, I probably helped this kid behind the scenes, and
right,
he let
right.
me down. And
right.
Man, the story.
Well, that's what kids do, though. I mean, that's what kids
well,
do.
Well, that's true.
Because they're kids.
Well, that's they're true. That's right. No, you guys are right. You guys are right. Let's jump back.
I just don't see. There's nothing to win in there. I mean, maybe if a kid's taking shots at your program, you have to defend yourself a little bit.
There you go.
But even in that situation, I'm not sure you'd do it. I think you're the adult in the room.
Yeah.
The Huggins rule is a great rule of thumb. Not on my roster. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna talk about it. That will keep you out of trouble every single time. And Tony, I appreciate you engaging Keith and asking him that. Tony, you're really growing in this role. In about two games, you're going to be behind this microphone. I'm going to be upstairs taking a nap. And this thing's, and let me tell you something, this thing's going to take off and go to the next level. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello. Tony Jones, Keith Hatfield, Tony Basilio, exclusively at TonyBasilio.com. Tell a friend and welcome in.
Guys, thanks for being in there tonight. And what's, like the impression said, it's becoming a long, long winter for me.
Oh. Wow.
Hey, guys, I believe I'm a little bit more optimistic about this freshman class than most are. I mean, this isn't Kentucky's freshman class that's ready to play when they come in and gone after 1 year. This is a group of four-year players that I really believe that fans around the league are going to get sick of seeing wear orange before it's over. I have a bigger problem with the fact that unless we have a big spring, we've had a literal whiff in year three in recruiting, and you can't follow up this class with that and not expect it to hurt you on down the line.
TJ?
You know, I agree. You know, the book isn't written, especially on this freshman class and on Rick Barnes' tenure. But obviously, chapters are being wrote. And, you know, we're watching, some players, that's showing some instances where it's not conducive to have winning basketball at this level at the SEC. And obviously, I've coached at this level, at the highest level. You know, I've won SEC championships. I've been number one team in the country and number of NCAA tournaments. And I know what necessitates to bring this program that no matter what anyone would say, I still love. And that's why I'm still here in Knoxville. Two daughters graduated from the university.
Yep.
When I was fired, I still wrote checks to the university for my daughters to continue their education. So I got immense love for the fan base and for the people of Knoxville and the University of Tennessee. But I want this program to win, and I want it to get back to the NCAA tournament. And to do that, you know, we've got to, you know, improve on some recruiting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying get a Tobias Harris or Scotty Hobson, you know, Duke Cruz, all those five-star guys. But, you know, Conzo Martin did a good job of getting Robert Hubbs. Robert Hubbs was a five-star guy.
Yep.
But you got to get at least a four-star guy in here that can kind of galvanate and kind of be a go-to guy. And if you get two of them, then you well on your way. You've done a good job in getting Grant Williams, who was a three-star guy who's proved that he can play in the SEC, who's a good player. I think Jordan Bone is going to be okay. Bolden can really shoot the ball. Alexander is a project. But, you know, recruiting has to improve before, you know, this team gets back to the level that it wants to get back to.
Hey guys, Fulkerson's a nice player.
Nice player.
Tony
B, out of sight, out of mind, sometimes.
I know.
But I like Fulkerson.
I agree with that. Nice player.
I know him personally. Mm-hmm. I know what he has inside of him. He's a competitor. And then I've seen him compete at the highest level against North Carolina.
Yep.
And he competed against five-star guys, and he took it at him. So that's promising right there. But yet and still, you have to continue to build and continue to bring in talent to be able to compete if you want to be in the first division in the SEC.
There's no doubt about that.
Guys, I know that South Carolina's absolutely relentless on defense. They're as good as we're going to see. But, TJ, it looks to me like we do too many things one-handed. I'm talking about passing. I'm talking about rebounding. Is that the game changing, or is that just youthful carelessness?
You know what? I'm gonna say this. That is youthful carelessness. But as a coaching staff, I've gone through those ups and downs with young players, where you tell a player you cannot make one-handed passes, because once you are in the process of making the pass, you cannot bring it back. You cannot bring it back.
Can't.
You always have to have two hands on the ball.
Mm.
When you rebound the ball, the officials have to allow some contact. They have to allow some contact, or you're gonna have a parade to the free throw line in a 3.5 hour collegiate basketball game, which nobody's gonna enjoy. So you have to go up strong with two hands to garner that rebound. So that's something that the coaching staff has to constantly harp on in practice, and that's where it has to be done in practice and in film sessions. And then hopefully, the word is get it. Hopefully at some point they get it, the light is turned on, and then we can execute it on the basketball floor.
Yep.
Hey Keith, I thought we were much better tonight defending the rim anyway, keeping there from being just open lanes to the bucket like there were in Gainesville. We got outscored 21-3 tonight from beyond the arc, and without Mostella, do you see anybody other than Bowden and possibly Lamonte Turner that can fill that role?
Well, I think Bone's got a decent stroke from out there. He just never shoots from out there. For whatever reason, he's obsessed with always taking a fake and taking a dribble inside the line. And I mean, all of your analytics guys will tell you that's the worst shot in basketball today, is the shot one step inside the three-point line. So my thought is either you try to get all the way to the rim, or you don't, or you shoot it from behind the arc. I think the 18-foot jump shot's going the way of the dinosaur.
Guys, I'll get out of your way here, but I guess the bright spot is, as disappointing as this three-game losing streak's been, it's probably been to the only three teams in this league that are going to make the NCAA tournament other than Kentucky.
Thank you, Bino. I think that's a valid thought. Keith, your thoughts on what he said? The three losses are three pretty good basketball teams. That's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arkansas was a hiccup at home last night against Mississippi State. But, yeah, I think if anybody else is making the NCAA tournament, maybe Georgia if they get hot. But, yeah, I think certainly as far as contenders to make the field, yeah, Tennessee just played three of the other four.
Hey, Tony, what's going on in the SEC? I don't know if you heard the number tonight, but I'll throw this number at both of you guys because it kind of surprised me. After tonight's game, road teams are, where is that number? How come I can never find numbers when I want them? I'm getting ready to have a StarFit / Tony, we're getting ready to have a memorable moment here on the air. I'm fixing to snap. Road teams are now 16-8 after that result tonight. That's freezing every other result in the SEC. 16-8 in SEC play, including a 4-0 night last night, one of the games Keith just alluded to. Is that because the league's just not that deep and the Kentuckys of the world can go on the road and win? The Arkansas's of the road, the South Carolinas of the world can come here and win? Is that what's going on? Is that a sign of a top-heavy league?
Well, I just think good teams protect their home court, and there aren't that many good teams in this league.
So that number is surprising, though. That's a high number, guys. 16-8?
Oh, no. I mean, that's the road team winning two out of every three.
Let me run something by both you guys. You guys tell me what you think of this answer. Robert Hubbs has asked about Mostella's dismissal. I leave that up to coach. It was his decision. I'm just here to play basketball. Now, why did the senior handle that the way the coach should have handled it? And the coach handled it the way a player should have handled it. And that's the Tennessee world that we live in right now, unfortunately. We got players handling things the way coaches should, and coaches handling things the way players should. Tony, that's a great answer by that kid, isn't it?
Maturity. I mean, you got a feel for this kid.
Yep.
He's played for three coaches.
Yep.
During his career. He yep. was recruited by Conzo Martin.
Yes.
Conzo left. Donnie Tindall came in. You know, Donnie Tindall, you know, had to re-recruit him to get him to come back because he was contemplating transferring. And he came back. Then Donnie is dismissed. Now you got Rick Barnes. And one thing I noticed tonight, and I noticed against Florida, and I watched the coaches because obviously, you know, that's a part of my makeup. And I watched the structure and the philosophy. Rick is really getting in these guys' faces a lot. And, he's really getting after them, when they make mistakes. And in some instances, that's appropriate. You have to do that as a coach. We've always implemented the sandwich approach. If you be positive, then really, really constructive criticism if you're getting into their face, and then you finish it off with positive. Rick is getting after these guys, and he's really got to be careful. He's got to be careful because you don't want to start losing, and then they quit on you, and that can happen. It's happened to some teams that I've coached in the past, not necessarily at Tennessee or whatever, but some other places. He's got to be careful and utilize his experience, and he's been highly successful, and I got a lot of respect for him. But this is a young team that you just can't lose. When the potential is there to not to have the type of season that you anticipated.
To kind of piggyback on what Tony's saying, I think he's coaching this team more aggressively than he has anybody since he's been at, since he was at Clemson. I don't think I ever saw Rick Barnes lighting up TJ Ford the way he lights up Jordan Bone.
That's exactly right. That's a great point, Keith. He didn't get into T.J. Ford. He didn't get into Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, Corey Joseph, Jordan Hamilton, and all those great players that he had at Texas. And he had a bunch of great players at Texas. He had five-star guys galore. He was more of a player's coach. But he's getting in. These guys, I saw him get into Robert Hubb's face at going into the halftime. When Robert Hubb shot the floater that didn't go at the end of the half, he really got into Robert Hubb's face. And I know Robert Hubb is a senior, and he's saying, wow. I know these guys. I know the players. I know they fight. And you had a really delicate point with these guys right now, guys. I'm telling you. I've been there and done that. And I know how these guys react to criticism. You got to really be their best cheerleader right now, especially on the basketball floor, in the forum during games, but really get on them in practice when no one's around, where they're not embarrassed.
Well, I mean, if you want to see what happens when a coach, no matter how good a coach they are, loses their team, just look what's going on at UTEP right now.
Yeah, anybody's capable. I mean, we've seen that, guys. Anybody's capable of losing a team anytime, anywhere, especially these days. I mean, hell, kids will check out on you. Let's go back to the phones, and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, brother. This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. Welcome in, man.
Man, you're going to get a kick out of this. So my radio obviously my app is on. I'm walking out from the car out there back to the car. My car is preset to the state sponsored radio station there, and Coach Barnes is on there. And you ready for this? He's such a ripping into Kessling, buddy. It's past his bedtime, Tone. Hey, ask Kessling. I wish you could find some tape of it. It's literally worth going back and hearing.
What do you say, Tom?
Check it out. So first he said, I know you want me to